Pharmacy Podcast Nation, this is a special series, CoronavirusRx.us. CoronavirusRx.us is going to be a resource that Pharmacy Podcast will accumulate with the unprecedented events that we're experiencing with the coronavirus. I consider this week one of the quarantine, of the national quarantine. Today is Monday, March 16th. And joining me is Dr. Jason Covellina. How are you today, Jason?
Very good, everybody. How are you today, Todd? Good to talk to you from quarantine headquarters 2020.
Quarantine headquarters 2020. Yes, lots of new elements and in findings this morning, different than over the weekend. We have John Hopkins, who does an amazing job tracking this virus globally. 179,057 confirmed cases, with a tracking of 7,057 deaths throughout the world. From a influenza perspective, we're still not in the realm of something entirely disastrous, but there's so much new information on the severity of contagiousness that it is starting to stand out. And the global reaction is unprecedented in my lifetime. I've never experienced anything like this. When I look at the United States data, it says 4,138 cases of coronavirus. And it's very interesting to me to be experiencing this. And my children asking a lot of questions. Lots of conspiracy theories that we're going to go through in a little bit. But Jason, I'm going to start off with you. You're the pharmacist. Give us your heads up.
So I'd have to say this is definitely something I've never experienced. I've been through all of the epidemics and pandemics that we've had since the 90s, right? I mean, I was born in 73, so there's been swine flu and H1N1 and SARS and MERS, and lived through the HIV epidemic and early on, and it's how it when it first started to come out, and I've never experienced this level of concern. It's interesting to me that there is this much worry. Only because there wasn't this much worry when H1N1 flu was affecting so many people. At least I don't feel the impact that
yes.
is the same. Right. I think it took us a lot longer to respond to H1N1. And yep. I think it had the idea of, oh, it's just the flu. It's just this. It's not a big deal. And I think the person who had the most sobering information about what could be coming up was Bill Gates. Who I think back in 2016 did a TEDx talk about what the next horrible virus was going to be like to the human population. And he definitely had it pegged as something that seems like a mild cold, nothing that really is going to cause you to miss work or in its initial stages. And so it's going to spread really easily, because if you don't know you're sick, like Typhoid Mary, you don't know you're sick, and then you spread typhoid to the entire town, everybody you come in contact with, but you never get sick. If you're not feeling bad, you don't stay home. So you go out, you fly, you travel, you do what you do. And then the next thing you know, the exponential growth of disease takes over. And it turns out to be something that's strongly targeting the elderly population, because of their weakened immune systems and their general secondary disease states that cause them so many problems.
Yes.
So then you say to yourself, well, why do I have to worry about going out? Why do I have to be sequestered, quarantined at home? Why do I have to close the schools? Well, because it's not about what's happening to me right now as a well person. It's everybody that I don't know I've come in contact with and who I could be getting sick.
Yes.
Who's the major population in my pharmacy? Well, it's 65 and over people.
Right.
So if I feel well, but I'm at work and I'm going to you know, be handing out medications, counseling, talking to people, walking up and down an aisle, showing somebody some pain medicine, some rubs, whatever it happens to be, cough and cold aisle. I mean, we're still at the beginning of the cold, allergy seasons, and we're also waning down in that flu cold season. We're still talking to people about these issues.
Right.
And so these are people who are going to be impacting who are already not well from the disease states they already have, plus add on the moms and dads and kids who were devastated by flu this year. This was already a very, very bad flu season. And I know many patients of mine who had, so I already had a lot of patients who had both types of flu. Flu A and flu B. Some families I know got flu twice. And it wasn't just flu today. It was daughter got the flu, got better. Mom got it, got better. Dad got it, got better. Son got it. And then let's recycle this whole thing and do it again. So you were talking people who were sick for a month, you know, family care and situations like that. So you're already talking about people who were down and using sick time because of flu. Now you've got forced people who are staying home to stop the spread. And that brings up that the concept of squashing the peak,
yes.
You know, or widening the peak.
Yeah.
What does that really mean? So think it just in general about your natural resources. Let's take example, toilet paper, because everybody's buying toilet paper. Right. So everybody goes to the store, buys up all the toilet paper. There's no toilet paper. You've overloaded the system. But if you didn't panic and you went in and got the one roll, well, not one roll, but the one pack that you might need for your family for probably a month,
yes,
then you'd be fine. Then everybody would have access to it and everyone would be quote unquote okay. So you don't overload the system. So think about that overload now, switch it over to the hospitals. If in the state of New York, let's say we've got 3,000 ICU beds, if we didn't social distance, if we didn't have safer practices, if we didn't close school, if we didn't close the senior centers, movie theaters, things like that, what was going to happen? So in just like the 1919 Spanish flu, everybody gets sick at once. If everybody gets sick at once, it all goes to the hospitals at once. If it all goes to the hospitals at once, those 3,000 beds become full right away. And then everyone who's left out is left out being sick. So if you look at the type of overwhelming disease that has occurred in Italy, that all happened for the reasons why it happened, right? Let's just step outside of the reasons and look at the overwhelming situation that has happened to their healthcare system, right? They're overwhelmed.
Yes.
They don't have the resources to deal with the number of sick that they have.
Right. And I really, this is a perfect inroad because, you know, the World Health Organization, who put the number of deaths in 2019 H1N1 flu at a minimum of around 18,500 worldwide because of that. And we know, based on tracking through John Hopkins, that today we are at 7,057 deaths. However, the potency of contagion is higher, they're saying. I am really excited because we have a very special guest that's joined us just now. I've been friends with this individual who is a champion of independent community pharmacy. She's a transformation agent and disruptor of the status quo. Fiona
Sartoretto Verna. Hi. Hi, Todd. Hi, Jason.
Ciao, Bella.
Verna.
Ciao. Che fa?
I'm at home in quarantine. No, in truth, I just come back from work because I'm one of the special that have the permits to go to work as I work in this moment for pharmacies. But I agree totally for what Jason say, just what I listen, because we had the same bad flu this winter. So, for example, my girls took twice with high fever. Like, it was a very bad flu. Almost all the class of the school of my girls, they remain in 2 or 3. My niece take 3 times. So it was a bad flu. And after that, it started the corona. And everybody thought it's a normal flu, it's again a flu. So we were not particularly worried. Also, if I, 2 months ago, I was in Dubai at the end of January for Arabelt, that is a medical fair, and it was all normal. But I bring with me my mask because I already, you know, follow China. And so there was, you know, traveling international airport. The fair was full of Chinese. So I was a little bit worried about it, but not so worried. But then the situation changed completely. From the 9th of March, Italy is a red zone. So means we are totally close all the region, so all the people close in our home. So everything is closed. The only things are open are, of course, hospital, pharmacies, and food, supermarket, everything you can reach, the food, the gas station for the trucker driver that come up and go from our nation. But people have not the permits to leave home. Only one person for family can go to buy food. And for go to work, I told you I'm special because we are now converted. I'm an architect, I remodel pharmacy, but in this moment we are building a protective screen in plexiglass for pharmacy and give for production cost. So we are trying to help as we can. All the factory are open, so Italy try, the industry are open, but with a lot of limitations. So, for example, my architects are all working from home. There are some few really that come now. I think this week only me and my brother, we go in our office that also is big, so we have no problem to keep 1 meter, 2 meter of distance with the mask. But you can understand the situation we are. Also, the park are closed. You can go on the gym, you can go at the pool. You have just to stay at home. And in this moment, so difficult, because really, when I talk with Todd, I say, we are in war, an invisible enemy, but we are in war. It came out that Italian people are very patriotic. And so there are some things very nice, like, you know, I work with pharmacies, so I really think that pharmacists are doing so a great job in this moment. You know, they are in first line, like a doctor, physician. They are fighting the battle, they are rescuing the people. Me too, you know, you are scared, you don't know what's going on, you don't know the economy, you care for your elder people. And so the pharmacy is there, you know, you go down and you talk with your pharmacist, and this is such like, I think that for the first time I can see all the Italy that is together against this. The numbers are terrible. I can tell you the number at now, 20,603 positive at the corona test, 1,809 dead people, 2,335 ill, so that now are out of the nightmare. But you know, from China, we have news also that a few people have also 2 times take it. So So it's hard. Let me tell you, it's hard, but we try to be positive and we try to work more as possible and try to get out of this. They say the peak will be in Italy the 18th of March. There are some village that today has been closed. I have one of my clients that is in Ariano Arpino, that is down in the south, has been completely closed the access, so the people can't also go out from home to buy anything. So it's very hard. But, you know, in this situation, Jason, what you say, it's very important. You are behind us, so you need to alert as much as possible people to stay at home. You know, the government now is doing a great job. From the 9th of March, there is this stay at home. We sing from our balcony together. Sometimes we do flash mob. One friend of mine that live in Dubai sent me a picture now that the Burj Khalifa, the tallest tower, tonight was with our flag and say we are with you. I know that Trump also say we are close to Italy, and I think that our doctor are doing a great job. But the problem is this, what you said before. If 1,000 of people go in the same time in the hospital, the ECU are not enough for everybody. So also if now they found some cocktail of medicine that maybe can put down the pneumonia and make it less aggressive, the problem is to have a space of intensity care in the hospital. So what Italy is doing is transform, take all the private clinic, transform space, maybe the fair they are talking about, place that you can't imagine can be transformed in hospital, but for this reason, because if 1,000 of people in the same time arrive in the hospital, we have not the physician, we have not the doctor that can follow these that need the urgency. And so people have to stay at home. We do for defend our elder people, but also ourselves, no? Because it's not only for elder people, a lot of young people died also. The quantity, the majority is elder, but there are a lot of also young people, my age, I'm 47, and also earlier, because you don't know. So, you know, it's strange, you know, to see nobody in the city, in Rome, and to see in the supermarket people that are scared to come closer. Everybody look at the other like with suspect. It's a different scenario. And 1 month ago, we never think it can be possible something like that. Right. And so I hope that the US and all the other nations that are behind, they understand how important it is to protect and to stay at home for the people. Because you don't know if you are a health, but inside you have the corona. So everybody can be. And so this is why you have to stay at home. And there are a lot of things to do at home. No? This weekend with my girls, we garden, we cook, we do competition. This night I play volleyball. This night I have a virtual with all my team, virtual appointment at 9 o'clock. So there are a lot of stuff to do. And you need to do for your nation, you need to do for the other people that live with you. So
Fiona is the author of Do You Speak Pharmacy, a book that she wrote, which was a joy to read, and her passion comes through that to transform community pharmacies into something very special, healthcare destination, which really combines your brand, your focus, the trust of a pharmacist, the commitment to health, and the love that they provide to their communities. Fiona, I am so glad that you got to come on to this episode. What we're doing with Dr. Kovalina is we're going to be putting together a series that's going to be dedicated once a week to the coronavirus tracking. We will have resources for our pharmacists here in the States at coronavirusrx.us, and that will give some updates. And having your update from Italy, the second worst hit country in the world affected by coronavirus, is very special. And the fact that you are very tied into pharmacy also makes this very special. So it's very nice of you to make this time for us.
Thank you very much.
So I have been tracking everything this morning. I woke up extra early to get to the studios to build out some additional content because of this unprecedented event. We are week one with this quarantine. The entire nation of Canada is being closed. They're closing their borders to all non-citizens. The state of New Jersey now has curfews. The state of New York now has special limitations. The state of Pennsylvania as well, and Ohio. Jason, what's happening in your neck of the woods with regards to things that are really standing out as something unprecedented based on this virus?
Well, I'm on Long Island, and I'm seeing, the Suffolk County, Nassau County schools have been closed for 2 weeks. New York City schools are going to be closed for over a month. They're going to wait till the end of spring break to try to come back on. Pardon me, 1 second. They have, much greater population density, so I think it's more important that they spend their time separated a little bit better. Even just walking the streets can be tough. What we are also seeing is an exodus from Manhattan to places like the Hamptons. Now, there is a bit of an issue with something like that because you are, again, possibly transporting unknown illness into an area that has not been impacted yet. And also you're straining the resources of an area, the pastoral settings of the East End of Long Island, as we like to say, the North and South Forks. They're not prepared for an influx of people this time of year. They're very used to it in the spring. And all summer long, it's a summer destination. It's a resort community, international resort community. So they're very used to seeing those kind of things. But this time of the year, they're not staffed up. They're not ready. The food supplies are gone. And there's been a report that somebody bought $5,000 worth of groceries at the East Hampton IGA. Wow. So there's some really silly things going on. And I was so impressed and happy with what Trump said the other day that, listen, the factories aren't closed. Farms aren't closed. Farmers are working. Doctors are working. Pharmacists are working. Nurses are working. These are frontline individuals who are prepared. Truckers, long-haul truckers, they're working. The infrastructure of the country is fine. Food will be available. Do your weekly shopping. Don't hoard things. This isn't the end of times, ladies and gentlemen. It is an illness that we will get through. You just have to use common sense precautions and listen, be prepared in the next week that things are going to look worse, right? Why do I say look worse than get worse? Look worse because we can conceptually assume that there are more people with infections of coronavirus than we're reporting right now. But the testing systems and the test materials were not available to be distributed to the centers where people are going to be tested. So now we're going to en masse start testing people. More and more people will show positive. Okay, so we're going to see an increased rise of cases. But those people probably had already been infected anyway. It's not new that they're infected. We're just noticing that they're infected. So those numbers will naturally go up, and then we'll handle those cases accordingly. Again, remember, 97% of people are recovering from this disease. Yeah. So it's important to understand that you will get better. We all will get through this. It's just going to take some time. Now, what are the other scary things that are out there, right? Maybe we don't have enough money. Maybe we don't have enough work. Maybe we don't have the ability to pay for things as we need to. Well, hopefully there'll be some financial situations put in place that will allow people to maybe miss a mortgage payment without being a problem, miss a loan payment here and there for it not to be a problem till everybody recovers and gets back on their feet. We would hope that the financial institutions that have that are burdening people right now would understand that if the government was so kind enough to give them the leg up that they needed during their financial crisis, that they should allow the American people to have this time to recover and get back on their feet.
Fiona, you mentioned March 18th as a peak period. Can you describe to our listeners from your perspective what that means and then what happens next?
Here, also if now it's 1 week that all Italy from 9 of March, so less than 1 week, all Italy is declared a red zone, the death and the positive are growing still because the scientific, the people, the doctors say that it will take 2 weeks for see the result, if there are any results, of this stay at home and not, you know, all the closure, all the closing and the things. So they say it's normal that there will be a point maximum because we are following exactly what happened in China. So Italy is reply what happened in China. They say that our percentage that now is 7% of dead people is because Italy is a country where there are a lot of elder people. So we, if I remember well, correct, Jason told me, if you know, I think in China they talk about a 2% of death rate.
Yes.
Yeah, in Italy we reach now, yeah. And so we were not so in the beginning. In Italy we reached the 7, and they say that the curve is the same, but that we are doing. So you know that in Wuhan yesterday there were only 4 dead people. So the curve is going down in China naturally. So they expect that in Italy there will be the peak of contagious case and death in less than 1 week. And then we all hope that it will drop down. It will continue to drop down. What Jason says is true. It's not so high the percentage. The problem is to have the physician that help you in the right moment, because anyway, right, it's right. Not a normal pneumonia. Is a pneumonia very, very dangerous. So
from what I understand from them, it's a rapid onset pneumonia and from some of the physicians that I've spoken with who dealt with H1N1 and the other respiratory illnesses at the time, they were always talking about oxygen saturation is the most important thing that they could do, is make sure that there's good penetration. And in this situation, they could be, you know, 98% on room air, turn around and they're zero sats, and then they're intubating people. So it could be a very rapid onset of a fibrotic pneumonia.
Yeah. And this is the problem, is because you need the bed ICU. You need a bed in intensive care if you get this pneumonia. And this is the worry of our government. And this is why all the government is moving for don't give the hospital. We know that already in Lombardia, in our north region where it starts everything, I read something today, they are at 83% of their capability. So they are start to give to find a bed in other hospital in region next. What happens if all the region in Italy have a thousand of cases is that unfortunately the doctor, the physician, they will start to decide who can live, who not. Because if you don't have the possibility to have the bed, the intensive care, you need to choose. And this is our scare, no? It's Everybody. But something fun about this toilet paper that I read that in Germany, in the US, because I have a lot of friends in the US and I'm always in contact with my client pharmacists, that everybody buy toilet paper. I don't know why. In Italy, we think before at our stomach, so everybody go to buy pasta.
Right?
I don't
exactly.
know why, but yeah, we go to buy pasta and food and
wine.
We think, oh my gosh, how will we do without pizza? But I'm joking, but the thing is that I want to first also thank my staff because we are working more than before for help the pharmacies. And you know, also smart working is a kind of social experiment, no? Because
yes.
I don't know, I contact my family and we together do things also with friends. There is the nightmare of the virtual school start also for me today. So all the mom, all the fathers that have to organize the kids at home. So, yes, it's a really strange period, no, for everybody because so unexpected. And I want to say, you know, the things that in the beginning here, the people start, and I think also in US, to buy are, of course, the mask, all the sanitizing product for clean home, and also the special one for clean the hand that is very, very important. Everybody is continuing to repeat. We have advertising in radio, TV, all the time that say the first things to wash your hands. Also because the Chinese studies say that this virus stay in the surface, overall the metal one. So it's very important to wash the hands careful many, many times. And gels and of course vitamins. So all these things. And so the pharmacists are really the one that are taking are full in this moment, full. And I know, you know, as Todd say, for me it's work, but are also now friends. So I have from all Italy, people call me pharmacists. They are exhausted, really, because they continue to work until half night for the people and talk with them. So it's very, very important. And this, I think, he have demonstrated how much important are the independent pharmacy in the territory for the community. Really, really important because is the first health care center that is in the community, in the area, also in the city. So I'm very proud of the pharmacist in this moment. You know, maybe they talk more about the doctors, the hospital, but they are doing their part, and it's fatigue, no? It's scary because they are behind the counter and talk with everybody. So this came the idea to build a protective screen so we can defend them. Because in America and US, most of your pharmacy have a different configuration. You are already protected, but in Italy, they are completely open. So this is why we thought it was the first thing to help them.
Very good.
So I think that when this emergency will be over, I expect that the pharmacy will become more and more professional. I'm talking about Italian pharmacy, but also all over the world, because sometimes pharmacists have lost their proud to be pharmacists, no? And so I think that more and more the pharmacy will become a place where both service and consultancy will be carried out. And, you know, I think that in this moment they understand the importance they have for their people, for their patients. So,
well, we're in the United States, I'll tell you that the pharmacist is the pharmacy and the pharmacist is the hub of healthcare.
Yeah.
Everybody has access to the pharmacist. Not everybody has immediate access to their doctor. They could always go to an emergency room, but that's not something that is people are willing to wait 3 to 5 hours for, especially when they're not emergent, right? So if they got a stub toe or this, that, or the other thing, a hangnail, whatever, they're going to come look at this rash. And, you know, we're there. We're the front line of everything. So to educate the pharmacies and the pharmacists and the pharmacy technicians who are really holding down the fort of the front line of healthcare, that to educate them to not be afraid, to do your daily work, double down on the hand washing and the sanitizing of your surfaces, and be there to help the people. Understand that your customers are scared, your patients, sorry, are scared, worried, and they don't understand what's going on. And they've got a million conspiracies rolling around in their heads. So as long as you can show them that professionalism, that upfront care and compassion, and then, you know, give me some strategies. I don't know what to do. And, you know, people are grasping for straws because they don't know how to take care of themselves, maybe is a way to say it, that they're looking for something that they can do to be proactive, some armor against what's happening. So maybe we could recommend some supplements for increasing your immune system. Besides the hand washing and the cleaning, maybe we can recommend the B12, B complex vitamins, or vitamin D3s, increased vitamin C. You know, just the basic things. Take your multivitamins, and maybe that's something that can help us out a little bit here. I don't know. I don't have an answer to that, but any little bit can help. It's not a bad thing. It's not, you know, plate armor against what's going on. But there are things that you are doing, folks, that aren't helping you. And hoarding all masks and toilet paper and things like that are not helping you as an individual. So a mask, according to the CDC and the WHO, a mask is not going to help anybody who is not sick yet. A mask is only good for helping people who are already ill with a sickness, any sort of respiratory illness, from spreading particles out into the world to get other people sick, because those cough particles can go out about 6 feet and can land on surfaces. This coronavirus lives on those surfaces, according to whosoever research you read, let's just go for the longest, up to 12 hours. On soft surfaces like clothes and cloth, that is something that can last approximately 6 to 12 hours, right? So we do have to make sure we're cleaning things a little more diligently than maybe we were, right?
Absolutely. So I agree in this. I don't bring the mask also if I have in my car, but I don't wear it because the government say only people sick have to wear. But unfortunately, I think that for people it's like to feel that they have a protection.
Yeah.
So when you go in the supermarket, when you look around, almost everybody has the mask.
I think it's a subconscious.
Exactly.
Like holding your teddy bear. It's a nice subconscious thing to hold on to.
Yes, I understand this, that for some people, it's like a teddy bear. Yes, But you know also that there are some particular masks that the doctor have to wear that
yes.
are not so easy to find the PP2 because the micron, the dimension of the corona is very, very small. So it's not the artisanal mask that you can
exactly.
wear.
Exactly. And those masks for those doctors are fitted specifically to their face, right? Exactly. So it's a special fitting system that, you know, that it's designed for them to wear. You, me, wearing an N95 super micron mask is not always going to be the best thing for us because it might not fit right on us.
Exactly. Also, they told me that the doctor have this entire body cover, no? By special wear. And today I was talking with a person that the sister is a doctor, and she say she can't even go pee. Because
correct.
She can't take off it for all the time,
yes.
and maybe they stay, you know, for hours and hours and hours. So
what I was seeing it was that the in China and a couple pictures I've seen from Italy, once they're in their protective gear, they're in the protective gear for the entire shift. They often will get rashes around their eyewear and facewear because they're wearing it for so long. It's imprinted on their skin. There's contact dermatitis from it. There's just wear and tear on the body from it. A lot of moisture and some crepey skin problems. So there are drawbacks to what these people have to do. And once they're locked into their gear, again, they're not going to the bathroom. They're just working 12 to 14 hour shifts straight through, helping everybody that they can. They are the true frontline warriors in this battle we're having against coronavirus.
I thank every doctor that is in Italy for the work they are. I have friends, they are not coming back at home because if, you know, you have to think that if one of the department where they work, they find the positive, all the department will be shut down. Mm-hmm. So it happens also this. So I have friends that maybe are weak, that don't see home, they can come back, don't have contact with external. So I told you, it's a war. It's mm-hmm. a different kind of war, but it is. But in this war, there is also a part that is positive. And you don't know how many of joke and funny things Italian can send because we are a you know, our country is very creative, is very fun, and it's difficult for us. Don't kiss each other. Don't caress. Yes. Don't hug. No, if you know Italian. We are very expansive. We are like this. And we are very serious in work. I know that in the mind we are not, but in truth, there are a lot of people that work very much. And but there is this part that is very, you know, creativity and happy. And so for us, it's also difficult. The social interaction for Italian is something different from North Europe. And so this is a very big sacrifice for us.
I want to thank you both. We are definitely going to come back. I'm going to have Jason come back and give us an update next week. We will continue to do this once a week through this strange, unprecedented period that we're experiencing. But Fiona, as a special guest from Italy, I really appreciate you coming on.
Thank you very much. I hope one day to meet also Jason in person.
Yes, that'd be great.
Come in US.
Buonasera, signora. Sta bene.
Buonasera. Arrivederci. A presto.
Ciao.
Ciao a tutti. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Thank you. With that, we wrap up today's pharmacy podcast focused on coronavirus. You can find additional resources at coronavirusrx.us. And as always, we thank you for listening to the Pharmacy Podcast.
Thank you for listening to the Pharmacy Podcast Network. If you enjoy the leading podcast network dedicated to the business and profession of pharmacy, please write us a review on Apple Podcasts and let us know which channel is your favorite. And remember, the pharmacist is the hub of healthcare.